Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
And that includes delving into mental and emotional components of any illness. It's never just physical or biomechanical. It would be nice if it was that simple, but life is much more complex than that.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. Starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million, and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from SharonSaylor.com. As well as I want to share a really cool new thing that we're doing over at LifeInterruptedRadio.com. It's called the Transcribe Tribe. Now, we've done over 130, 140 episodes already. They're not all transcribed yet, but go over, sign up for the Autoimmune Hour's Transcribe Tribe, and you'll be able to get transcriptions. And if you don't find one that you're looking for, just drop us a note there on the website, and we'll be sure and get that one up in the top of the queue. So join us over at LifeInterruptedRadio.com, Transcribe Tribe. Oh my goodness, I know, Friday night, 7 p.m., it's my weekend. I hope it's the start of your weekend too. You know, I love summer weekends. It's still light out, you can do lots of fun things. We're bracing for a heat wave here, so we'll see how that goes. But anyway, oh my god, and oh, I've got a great new tea over here, so if you see me sipping on that, it's a jasmine white tea. Remember I told you about that fan from London who sent me some fabulous tea? Well, I went on the company's website and I found more fabulous tea, so it just came and I'm enjoying it now. It's the jasmine white tea. It's one of those where you take the tea bag and you'd rather like put it under your pillow than drink it. It smells so good. I just love it. So anyway, we've got an amazing guest tonight, and I find that her approach to all of this is really fascinating and interesting, and so I'm really excited about it. We have Angelica Singh, and she is the founder and creator of the holistic approach to healing called the Embodiment Process. She trains other healers in her approach and works with individuals and groups utilizing biodynamic, craniosacral therapy, trauma resolution, medical intuition, and depth consciousness work. Wow, that's a mouthful. So Angelica's life-changing healing crisis at the age of 28 led her to a deep understanding of energy systems and trauma. What followed in the coming years was a process of deconstruction and birthing into herself and her own gifts. And she draws on this and integrating these in years of experience, she has conceived a holistic transformational approach to healing. So we'll get into more of it because her work's even been featured in, the Oprah Magazine and all of other things. She's developing a great online course launching in 2018. But we'll get into that more as we get to know her. So welcome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, that's quite a mouthful with all of the things that you've put together to make your own process, the embodiment process. First, tell us a little bit about your healing crisis, your story that led you to take, I mean, this is amazing, developing your own healing process. So tell us a little bit about what led you there.
Yeah, well, I would say that, you know, I was probably, all in retrospect now, I was very sensitive and I had had a lot of traumatic experiences when I was younger. And I really didn't have the reflection from others or what was going on with me. Nobody was really able to pay enough attention to recognize that I really had post-traumatic stress disorder. And I was extremely dysregulated in my nervous system. And for someone who's highly sensitive, to have a combination of those things was really became unbearable in many ways, but it showed up as just regular pain in some ways. And then I started out, you know, going to massage school, going to yoga school, you know, trying to work out just the pain part of it. And I don't know if other people have had this experience or not, but having the experience of actually, it brought up more trauma. And so my journey started really by coming from physical pain and trying to resolve it and getting some relief, but then also unleashing another can of worms around recognizing that a lot of the hospital experiences I had had and the injuries I had really created post-traumatic stress disorder in me. Mm-hmm. And that led me down the path, a lot of education, and at the same time having to deal with a very unique experience where I had really a psychic opening.
Wow. I bet that was a little shocking, coming from feeling pain and all of a sudden having this opening or this change. How did you realize that's what it was that was happening?
Well, it took me time. I was actually traveling around the world at the time for a year, and the symptoms and the phenomena were too unusual to have just been a physical experience. So, and I don't think it's, while it may be unusual and unique in some ways that I was having that experience, I've really come to understand that anytime somebody is ill or unwell in themselves, whether it's mental or emotional or actually physical, or they've been diagnosed with a disease, it really does quicken your consciousness. Or if you're pregnant, you know, there are all kinds, or you're in a car accident, there's really an opportunity to deepen into one's consciousness. So even though I had a very unique experience that affected me in a more kind of psychic way as its core, it still, I think, is the same for every kind of instability or dis-ease that we go through. It was a transformation.
Wow, fascinating. You know, one thing I found with all of the other episodes that I've done were, 135 and counting now, that people with autoimmune disease will say that they have noticed that profound changes in who they are, whether they describe it that way with a psychic opening or not. But I've noticed that they often say things like they've had a profound change in who they are as they move through the healing process. Do you find that is somewhat common with the individuals you work with?
Absolutely. I feel like if we all looked at the health of our situation and we're able to see illness and the journey we get put on through the events of our life, whether it's an autoimmune disease or a car accident or a tragedy, as a learning and as a deepening into who we really are, it really enlightens us. It really can evolve us and give us a much deeper relationship to ourselves, to the universe, to others, and it can cultivate so much empathy and humility, which are really essential qualities for living a peaceful, enjoyable journey.
So true. I also find that a lot of people with autoimmune condition would describe themselves as highly sensitive people. Yeah. Now, that's the science of Sharon. I have no correlation or research to back that up other than just living in this world for the last 3.5 years of the healing process. And all the people I talk to about the show, a lot of them, I think a majority of them, would hold up their hand and say, yep, I would describe myself that way. As well as I find most of them would describe themselves as having at least one trauma that they remember very profoundly that they feel altered the transition of their life. And so let's talk a little bit about trauma resolution, because I find it so fascinating. So many people I talk to that have autoimmune, and regardless of how it manifests, whether it's MS or lupus or any of the other 135 of those and counting now too, they've lost track of all the different ways autoimmune manifests itself, that a number of those people will also be able to reflect back on at least one trauma in their life. And I love it now that it's just recently that trauma is being recognized as a precursor often to a physical issue.
Absolutely. And I would bet that no one with an autoimmune disease, all of us have some kind of trauma. And it's part of life, trauma in general. But I work with lots of people who have autoimmune diseases or have been diagnosed, a lot of Hashimoto's, but also what might be considered more severe, like MS or something like that. And I'm sure you know this from working in the autoimmune, you know, field, that obviously there are going to be thought forms and emotions attached or tied into what's happening. So my work really addresses those issues and getting a person more in touch with what are the core ideas or thoughts or limitations that we're placing on ourselves. And sometimes they're not just from this life. They're from another life or they're from a lineage piece. So what I focus on in trauma resolution is epigenetic healing. What are we caring for our ancestors? Did our ancestors experience great trauma? I mean, if we look at in the United States, the Great Depression was a trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? World War II was a big trauma, as was World War I. And then, of course, if you're of a Jewish origin, the Holocaust is a huge trauma. And, you know, they've done studies, and this was what was in the Oprah article, is the research that backs that we carry forward what is the study of epigenetics. Certain genes turn on that put us into survival mode from the very beginning. So I spend a lot of time focusing on the ancestral lineage. Sometimes it goes into past life, which is not connected to the ancestral lineage, and also what was happening in the womb. Because if the mother experiences trauma and she had trauma in her life, that gets passed on to the child. It doesn't have to necessarily, but certainly it helps us connect to the initial thought forms and emotions that are the foundation of autoimmune disease often. Because, of course, we know in autoimmune, the immune system is attacking itself. So there's a certain level of what we might call, quote, self-destruction, which is, of course, not what we consciously want. But somehow there's a tie-in. And what I do with people is really help them through an embodied way settle down and begin to uncouple some of the thoughts and emotions, which we need to individuate from to be more oriented to the health and the bigger divine blueprint of what we come from, not the imprints of ancestral or karmic lineage.
I find that whole fascinating about the epigenetics too, the research behind that, and then transforming that into the what they call the neurobiology of how does it manifest through the neural system that then manifests in your physical embodiment. So that's the whole area is so fascinating. I know it's fairly new out there, and I'm always just so impressed at the way that people are willing to look at these areas that even I'll say just a decade or so ago would have been looked at with sort of rolled eyes. And I find it fascinating that people are open to this whole form of like, what else could be causing the physical manifestations of disease in your body?
Yeah, and it's very empowering. I mean, it is really an important part of, I mean, interestingly enough, we may set off on a journey trying to get well and suffering from it. And really, the potential is to have a much more compassionate, deeper spiritual life, because you're actually intimate with you. You're beginning to look at your origins. And I don't really think anything in life could be more empowering or freeing than really coming to know yourself at a deep level, even though the circumstances of the initial impulse to do it may have been illness.
Yeah. How do we get past that? Excuse me. How do we get past that? Because what's really fascinating to me is what I always now call the white coat authority, because to me, you're just not just doctors. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times there's certain places where our previous belief, at least my previous belief, sometimes it's current belief for people, that you go there and they fix you. And that's, in my case, was not the case. And it led me on a transformational journey as well through exploring my emotions and also just a whole range of things, past traumas, a whole range of things, which I believe led me to where I am thriving right now. How do we help people accept that, hey, this maybe there is a larger picture here than just take two aspirin in the morning and you'll be fine? I think that's really hard for sometimes people to try something new, shall I say.
I think there are a lot of different answers I could give you right now, but just as a pathway, if someone is dealing with illness, number one, it's always good to have a good practitioner. There are good Western medical doctors who would be open to the idea that there is more there available to them, and would encourage that person to work with another holistic practitioner that can guide them into really their own knowing, right? Because a lot of healing is about your own knowing. And if one is a child, it's easy to turn over your authority to a doctor and assume that they know everything. And the truth is they don't. You know, that's why a lot of these diseases are just labeled autoimmune, and nobody really in the Western medical field can assess exactly what it is, because it's complex. It's a complex system that allows us or turns us towards illness versus towards health. So I feel like there's a lot of different layers to that. I always suggest working with somebody who's a little bit intuitive that helps guide us back to our own empowerment about the decisions that work for us. And that includes, delving into mental and emotional components of any illness. It's never just physical or biomechanical. It would be nice if it was that simple, but life is much more complex than that. I also think the other thing I would say about it is that when we give our authority away to any practitioner, we don't really allow ourselves to grow out of child consciousness. Right? Some people might call it victim consciousness. That's not really what we're here to do as humans. We're here to evolve and empower ourselves and become spiritual adults and feel good about that, feel empowered so that we can pass on that empowerment and the love and the wellness to the next generation. So that, I feel like that's a principle of being here. So that's also something I think that comes up when we're working with a practitioner.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. That's really great advice. I too say, find the one that works for you, and it's okay to say to a doctor that you've just met or even worked with for a while, thank you very much, but I think I need to find something else at some other point. Too often we get, I'll say, either in a rut or maybe sometimes just afraid to say thank you.
Absolutely.
This isn't working at this time. And so I think that's a very powerful approach. We need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute. And then we're going to find out more about this embodiment process and how it works, because I just find the whole idea fascinating. And so we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here today with Angelica Singh, and she is the founder and creator of the holistic approach to healing called the embodiment process. And just in this first little bit, she was sharing with us her history and how she came to understand that healing is much more than just a physical process. And now I wanted to get into this idea, what is the embodiment process and how does it differ from other offerings that we might find out there? It just sounds like it encompasses so many of the offerings.
Yeah, well, I think it came to me after doing a lot of different work, and I found for myself that a lot of the illnesses in my own research and my own understanding that we're surfacing in people are really nervous system related, just like you and I were talking. If they start that early on, pre-birth, gestation, we're dealing with the formation of our nervous system and really how important nervous system regulation is. So that's something that every human being, if we were trained and educated about how to slow down, about what really is the natural pace of a nervous system, and how does that affect and impact the way I grow and perceive things in the world. And that was really introduced to me through my own trauma, and then feeling relief from being able to release and discharge and complete old feelings, stuck energies, and also from my body, the trauma. Because that trauma is held in the brain, and talking it out isn't enough, right? And that trauma is also impacting our disease later in life. Things that happen to us when we're very young are impacting us when we're in our 40s, meaning we didn't start getting Hashimoto's or a thyroid issue when we were 40. We started getting that when we were one or two, or even before, because of the way that our nervous system was forming, the need for resiliency in the nervous system to be created. So what I like to talk about is understanding the window of tolerance for a person's nervous system, how we grow through stress, but we also, if we're too overwhelmed, we're going to move outside of our window of tolerance, and we can accumulate stress just like water bubbling over. So some people are very high functioning, some people are lower functioning, and then some people when they're high functioning, they handle it, but the neuroendocrine system is taking the heat, right? And it's starting to burn out slowly, slowly, which is what we would talk about, increased cortisol levels. A lot of people are living in dissociative states and fight or flight states, which is causing a chemical reaction, which doesn't show up until they're 30 or 40, and they think they're perfectly fine, but they're not really connected. And that is a trauma-based experience from very early childhood or before. So I really thought that was what embodiment meant. And I really believe that every human being needs to be taught how to be in their body, needs to understand their nervous system, whether you're healthy or not. The wellness of our cooperative society happens through first being well myself, first being in my body, and then being able to attune to others. And that originally begins with mother and baby.
Oh my goodness, that's so true. That's fascinating to me, because a couple of the things that just came to my mind as you were talking about that is, I oftentimes find people who, when they finally get the label of a diagnosis disease, as you say, it's been coming on for a long time. And oftentimes they're like, I want to get better now. And one of the things I was, look, it, you didn't get here overnight. And you're not going to get out of it overnight. So it is a process of what I call unwinding the past X number of years. And one of the things I found in my unwinding process that I think you speak to, I have slightly different words, and it was described to me as I was working with someone who said at the time, it's like your fight or flight mechanism switch is stuck on. The process was teaching it to be able to go on and off when it was appropriate to be on or off. And I found that metaphor was very helpful in having me understand, oh, I get it now. When someone would say other words to me about trauma or whatever, it wasn't resonating with me, but that delightful little metaphor, it's just like your switch is jammed or stuck on, and we just have to teach it to go off and on. So is that the kind of thing that you help people understand?
Absolutely. And then all of the kind of complex names that we were talking about, the things that I do are a combination of getting the system to discharge and feel safe enough so that unwinding and uncoupling and completion process can happen, which means completing the emotions, naming them, being able to what I call digest or metabolize them. So what I like to think of is that we're developing and growing our witness consciousness, which acts as like a digestive enzyme to our old trauma. And that really happens through the body, and it happens through a certain kind of contact, both verbal and emotional and eye contact, and being able to hold a container, and then so that person's witness grows into themselves. And then we begin to discharge on our own more easily. Once, like you said, the on switch becomes able to go up and down again, and you're not just stuck on it. So you're what I call, you're in a rev all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever drive a stick, you're driving 70 miles an hour, but you're in second gear.
That's a great metaphor, right? Too. I think those kind of metaphors help people understand the process, because sometimes we can get stuck in, I'll say, almost as if the shock of the diagnosis and things, our ears go closed for a while. It's just hard for us to, at times, especially in the early phases of healing, to understand. And so I love those metaphors of the revving your car in second gear, or the switch is stuck on, as ways to get people to understand what else is going on in your body at that time that is enhancing and enabling the pain and the inflammation process to continue to do its havoc that it's doing. And so, oh my goodness, this is so fascinating. So as you're doing through the embodiment process, do you have any tips for people that want to maybe just, do you ever say, here's something you can try at home? Do you have a couple of little tips that people can see if maybe they'll go, wow, that was really helpful, I need to contact her?
Sure. So I would say that most people probably notice things, as you were talking about being stuck on, and you might notice that when you lay down at night, you can't get your mind to stop going, or you're not able to settle, what I call settle. So it's like you're still got that feeling of adrenaline in your body. And a lot of times people use what I would call resources. They'll use wine or they'll use some other kind of resource to try to slow themselves down. So one thing that you can do is really work on feeling down in the ground, pushing down with your feet, and really coming, recognizing that slowing the body down actually helps the nervous system. So I have lots of free meditations and talks on my website that walk people through an embodiment meditation, which is really about learning to feel down in the body and get the system to downregulate, get it to get out of stuck on and slow down itself. Now, sometimes we can do that very easily on our own. Sometimes it's harder to do because we need a little assistance. So it's something that we can certainly try. It's safe to try. And certainly when you're feeling and anchoring down to the ground, going low and slow, it's much easier for the nervous system to begin to discharge and let go of the day's events or some of the chemicals that are going through the system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I find just one thing, as we were talking about that, I love to take off my shoes and socks and put my feet on the real ground. I think not enough people do that.
Feeling the ground and also asking the system to begin to slow down. The other thing I have people do sometimes when they're in my office is I have them push up against something with their shoulders or with their elbows or even sometimes the wall.
Oh, like I've got a chair back here. So just push back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, push back or use your arms to push out against the sides and then release the muscles. Because that's it helps the energy of the body to shift.
Well, it's a nice supported feeling. I think oftentimes walking around, you can maybe not feel supported, whether physically or metaphorically in your world.
Right.
Yeah, wow, that's simple too. That's a nice supported feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, those are great tips. One of the things I want to talk to you about too, we're coming up against a commercial break in just a few minutes too, but let me see if we can squeeze this in, is I'm a huge fan of people understanding breathing. I think breathing is one of the most overlooked healing processes that we have at our, that's free, cheap, and easy to do. So what are your thoughts about people understanding how to breathe?
Well, I think, again, it's a complex issue because I think sometimes it can be very, very helpful. I think that sometimes when the trauma is very deep and it's very early, breathing doesn't always help. So I feel like identifying whether or not it's helpful is good. One thing I would say is that sometimes when we use our will to breathe too heavily or too much, it can sometimes cause a little bit more of an issue than less of an issue. Sometimes it can amp us up. So when we breathe down into our belly and slow it down, it is usually going to bring the system into a more down-regulated state. So moving out of what we call sympathetic state to a more parasympathetic state to get the switch down, just using like a dial where we can turn it down. So I would say breathing in the lower belly is probably a better choice. And also just feeling the breath in the body. Focusing on feeling the breath moving up through the inner nostrils and back down the inner nostrils. Sometimes focusing on a more specific area of where the breath is coming into can disengage the mind from feeling overstimulated, which is also what causes a little bit of the anxious feelings or the feeling that we can't settle.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because it reminded me of a breathing class that I went to where we did transform into doing some deep belly breathing. And a number of people did get emotional at that time. There were some tears and some other things. So that's fascinating how, it just brought to my memory that time of that breathing class I took. I'm still a fan of breathing. I think too many of us walk around breathing very high and shallow, not getting enough air into our system.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We need to take another quick commercial break, guys. We'll be right back with Angelica Singh, and she's the founder of the creator of Holistic Approach to Healing and the Embodiment Process. So we'll be right back, and we'll have many, many more questions for her on how we continue to do this process and things that we can do at home as we prepare for our own transformation. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here today with Angelica Singh, and she's the founder and creator of the holistic approach to healing called the Embodiment Process, and she's been teaching us really fascinating things about how it can be right now in our present, it can be in our own past, or it can be in our lineage past. And I find all of that completely fascinating. She also gave us a couple of great tips about grounding ourselves. And I loved it that she commented very challengingly, I love that, on this idea of whether breathing in specific ways is helpful or not, and when it is helpful or not. I appreciate that because, like I said, I'm a huge fan of the healing, but I flashed back on that time when I took the healing class, breathing class, and realized that a lot of people, there was some tears and things in certain ways that we are breathing. So I find that completely fascinating. What are some other things that people can do to figure out, like, if this embodiment process is for me or not? Do you ever have like a series of questions or things that you ask people to know if this is the right step for them at this point in time?
I would say that the biggest piece of what would make someone a candidate for this work is if they are really willing to do their own work and they understand that their own agency and their own responsibility for their life circumstances, regardless of what they are, is in their hands. So that's both a responsibility, but it's also the ability to respond. So it's also recognizing that we have the power within us to change our circumstances and transform our perception of wellness. And it's really a process of developing a more spiritual adult and a witness consciousness which includes embodying self-compassion and having a level of accountability for what arises in us at any given moment. And obviously, when we've had a lot of trauma, that's harder to do because we actually don't perceive certain things. Children see things in black and white. And when we've been very traumatized, we tend to stay in that perspective because our neural pathways have been limited. We literally have been cut off from a more plasticity, more neuroplasticity state, which allows us to grow in complexity and become more of an adult. So that can be both healing and transformative, and it's also deeply empowering. So I would say anyone who's ready to deepen into their journey from that place and who really wants to be coming from a place of wellness and knows that they have, at least at one level, the ability to develop a relationship to themselves.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. Now, I've heard you on a couple other interviews. I want to get into this before we run out of time. You talk a lot about people having to do the shadow work. And I love that term. It was a very, as you could probably tell, I like metaphors. It was a very metaphorical type of work. And it took me to lots of places when I was listening to some of your other interviews about the shadow work. And you had this comment about people like to chase the light. And I went, oh, that's so true. Can you talk a little bit about how you describe people in when they start doing, having, working in the process of the shadow work?
Sure. So just in terms of like a person who is a light chaser, I would say that there's a lot to be said for suffering, right? And oftentimes when people are chasing light, they're not really understanding what I would consider a deeper process and a deeper foundation of what I call depth consciousness work, is that we're really here to deepen in consciousness. And that includes understanding that this is a realm of both light and shadow. And in fact, 67% of the universe is dark matter.
Wow.
Right. And a percentage of that is dark energy. So we won't get into all the astrophysics of that. But just to say, there is more darkness than light in this realm. That doesn't mean energetically or somehow we're screwed or we're not going to have access to divinity. It just means that it's part of how we live here. So when people light chase, I'm always a bit cautious, because what is the suffering that they're so afraid of? What is the relationship to suffering? Because that's an important part of how we meet and make relationship to ourselves and to how we are here. So developing neutrality and seeing what is disowned in us. And if we're just chasing light, we're not really doing the real work. And there may be some very strong fears and traumas that are protecting us from that. So for example, just a very basic example, if we grew up with, and I mean this in a very empathic and compassionate way, we can understand if a child grew up with a raging alcoholic father, they may never want to go anywhere near anybody who's angry, including their own anger, because it was so deeply frightening and traumatizing to be around somebody like that was that rageful, right? And we can understand why they would just want to be around light and love and be completely away from violence or abuse or anything like that. It makes perfect sense.
Yes.
But we have to own that part of ourselves, right? We have to own the element of us that is connected to that which we will outcast into the shadow because for our own safety, for our own survival. That's part of becoming an adult, is owning those pieces. We may never act out that way, but we still need to redeem that part of ourselves. Doesn't mean we need to forgive our father in a traditional sense. Doesn't mean we need to go and be nice to them. It just means the energy that got outcast needs to be included.
Oh my gosh. And I can see how that could be frightening for people to take that step. And it makes, like you said, it makes perfect sense that they want to just chase the light. As we're looking to do this type of deeper work, let's talk a little bit about how you work specifically with people. What are some ways that people can work with you? Do we have to be down at your, I don't want to call it studio, I guess the location?
I have a lot of international clients, so I work on Skype a lot. I have a unique skill, so energetically I can see what's going on with someone from distance. And because in many ways there isn't space and time, it's perfectly fine to be Skyping. And sometimes it's easier for people because they feel the comfort of their home and they're in relationship to themselves. So there's benefit to both. If they're in the LA area, that's great. I always, you know, welcome people who want to come from, you know, or locally, or if I have people come fly in from all over sometimes to come see me. And then Skype is great. You know, FaceTime is great.
Wow. That's fascinating that you can do it from a deep, from a different process. When we do it, I know there's some hands-on, I assume, I guess, with the cranial sacral background and things like that. When it's done in, I'll say, in location, what are some of the differences that happen during the two, I'll say, systems, one is being indirect and the other being direct? What are some of the differences between the process?
If there's a hands-on component when somebody comes here, it can be nourishing in a physical way that would be different. I would say there's a lot that can happen on a table that actually can happen distance too, but I think we all need human contact, right? And to be contacted, when I put people on the table, the beautiful part about the process and about embodying is that it's not about me or a facilitator doing something to the person. My job is simply to listen to their system. So one of the major things that somebody would tell you when they come to see me, they won't feel my energy. They will feel like they connected more to themselves on the table. They will feel that the hands on them help them facilitate a deeper relationship to the depth of their own being. It won't be, it's seamless in terms of their connection with source and their ability to feel the health and the divine blueprint inside of themselves, which is attunement. That's the process we're all trying to get back to, is our own attunement to source. And that is a rhythm that's palpable. And when they're on the table, that becomes more available to them in a physical way.
Wow. That's fascinating to me how we can do it both ways and have the same or similar effect. That's amazing. And one of the things I want to loop back right around before we have to take a quick commercial break is you've made a couple of comments during this time about being aware of what we don't know. Let's talk a little bit about that. I always find that fascinating to me, how understanding that you know what you don't know, or knowing that you don't know that you don't know, I guess this is more like how it works. Well, how are you to work with people when they come to you and they'll say, I have, you know, label, whatever that is, and able to open up to a larger understanding of there's more to this than we don't know. And it's maybe not just your work, but what do you how do you talk to people about understanding this deep place of unconscious where there's plenty that we all don't know? I just find this whole concept of knowing what you don't know and being okay with knowing you don't know good.
Yeah, I feel like you're touching in on a deeply esoteric and profound principle that is everything in its deeper truth tends to be a bit paradoxical. So there's this place of recognizing, I would say this about all humans in general, we're all dealing with wanting to control things, wanting to feel safe and wanting to control things. And when we start to deepen into an experience where we feel out of control, which life will bring us that feeling, it'll bring us a feeling of out of control and powerlessness. Everyone on the planet will have that experience. So learning how to deepen and have a practice where we actually begin to challenge our notions of safety, the childlike ones versus the adult ones. How does the adult perceive safety that the child couldn't? How do we facilitate a plasticity in the brain and the neural pathways and in the sensitivity of our own being that allows us to experience life from a peaceful place? Those are vibrations. They're available to everybody. And when there's enough trauma metabolized and enough availability for the soul to connect, then we have a very different experience. And what we don't know in relationship moves out of a place of fear and into a space of reverence and humility and sacredness. And it doesn't feel unsafe anymore. And we begin to reside more fully in the not knowing. And the really beautiful piece is that's where all your gifting is. All your gifting is in that relationship and the intimacy of not knowing and being okay with it and recognizing that all knowing is being accessed through the not knowing.
Well, we need to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back about this idea of the gifting. That just has me intrigued. That got me hooked there about this gifting, because I can think through my own 3.5-year process here. Like I said in the beginning here, that I'm a much different person and the many gifts that have come to me through this entire healing process. So let's take our quick commercial break here, and then we'll be able to end on this really intriguing idea of the gifting of it all. So we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here today with Angelica Singh, and she's a founder and creator of the Embodiment Process. And I just love that she's been able and willing to sort of just follow along with all these different rabbit holes I've been chasing down, because each time she says something, I get more and more profoundly entranced. And so as we had to take that quick commercial break there, folks, she started talking about this gifting process. And I can think back of how many things just in my process of the last 3.5 years, how many gifts have actually just manifested amazingly from this. And so let's talk about this idea of the gifting process right before we have to close, and then, of course, more about you and your website and all of that. But let's talk about and end on this really wonderful note of the gifting process. How do you see that unfold?
Well, number one, everybody is gifted. Everybody has gifts. We don't come here without them. And oftentimes, I think people say it, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what my passion is. Those are often tied to the gifting. And it is usually the process of clearing out old survival strategies and obstacles that keep our attention, you know, creating safety, not wanting to take risks, making sure that we're safe over being creative. And so when we're freed up and we feel more comfortable with letting go of control, what ends up arising is that we actually connect more fully with our gifts. And I always start that process by asking and making sure that we really perceive our survival strategies and who we are being as a perfectly okay and helpful way of being.
Bravo.
What I mean by that is that we would never develop strategies like that if they didn't work. So they serve. So I always tell everybody, everything serves. Those survival strategies serve. At some point, they cost us a lot and they cause us suffering because they begin to limit the expression of our potential and our consciousness, and that becomes painful. And so that's my job, is to help them clear and metabolize and access more of who they are, more of their potential, by getting the support they need in those particular areas. And we all need support in that place. We all need help in that area. So when that opens, what you see is the gifts just arise, because they're there and because everything serves. And so we really want to appreciate what we've come from and include every part, not try to get rid of something, although it often feels like we want to get rid of something. And once we learn to appreciate it and we can include it, it actually frees up more power.
Oh, that's there again. We're back to one of those paradoxes of life, aren't we? Well, we're just about out of time here. I want to make sure that we have, in the next couple of minutes, tell people about your website and all about how to get a hold of you. I know you have an upcoming course. I know it's in March of 2018, but so looking forward to that as well. So please share with us your website and how people can get a hold of you.
Sure. So it's just my name, AngelicaSingh.com, and you can email the website. There's an info. You can sign up for the newsletter. It's the best way to stay in touch with me. And I have an upcoming workshop here in Los Angeles on the 12th of August. So that's also available. It's at the Gateway Portal. And I put up ongoing workshops all the time, all year round. And the online course is next year. And I do Skype sessions one-on-one regularly. And also I do groups occasionally. And then obviously in person in Los Angeles, if you're in the Los Angeles area.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing with us. This has been fascinating to me, that a way of being, I'll call it unfolding. I like that word. The embodiment process is about unfolding and discovery. So thank you so much for sharing it with us. Just another way, folks, for you guys to explore and find ways to you become and embodying your thriver too. Here, I don't know if you're aware, but we talk about, we're not survivors, we're all thrivers. And I think that's critically important.
Yeah.
So everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventure. Join us here next Friday for another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
This is the EWN Radio Network.